Today on the Student Loan Show, we are giving you everything, and I do mean everything, you need to know about discharging your federal student loans due to disability. This is Jay Fleischman. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Student Loan Show. My name is Jay Fleischman. I am a student loan attorney practicing in California as well as in New York. And today I'm going to go through with you step by step, covering absolutely every last detail about how to discharge your federal student loans due to disability. Before we start, I want to let you know that what we're talking about today is only your federal student loans. Now, that means loans that are issued by, held by, or guaranteed by the federal government. We're not talking about private loans. We're not talking about the non-federally guaranteed or issued student loans. Those loans do not have the ability to be discharged due to a total and permanent disability, or at least there is no ability to discharge those federal student loans through an administrative process that is uniform among all loans. If your lender gives you the ability to wipe out a private student loan due to disability, that is up to them, but it is not mandated by any federal regulation. We're going to talk about your federal student loans only. For shorthand, we are going to call this a TPD discharge. TPD stands for total and permanent disability. We're going to talk more about what that means as we go through things, but because we're just going to be saying TPD all the time, I wanted to let you know what it means. A TPD discharge relieves you from having to repay a William D. Ford Federal Direct Loan Program loan, a FEAL loan, a Federal Perkins loan, or any other federal student loan, any Stafford loan. Stafford subsidized or unsubsidized. It also relieves you from having to complete a TEACH grant service obligation on the basis of your total and permanent disability. Before your federal student loans or TEACH grant service obligation can be discharged, you're going to need to provide to the U.S. Department of Education information to show that you are totally and permanently disabled. Remember, totally and permanently disabled. Not temporary disability, not partial disability, total and permanent disability, TPD. The U.S. Department of Education will evaluate the information that you provide and will determine if you qualify for a TPD discharge. If you think that you might want to apply for a TPD discharge because you think that you qualify, you're going to need to provide the information the department needs to make a determination by completing a TPD discharge application and gathering supporting documentation that shows that you are totally and permanently disabled. There's going to be a link to the TPD discharge application in the show notes, which you can find at studentloanshow.com. Depending upon your situation, you're either going to need to attach supporting documentation to your application, or you're going to need to have your physician complete Section 4 of the application. Once everything is complete, you're going to mail the discharge application and, if required, the supporting documentation into Nelnet, which is the servicer for TPD discharge applications. First, how do we show TPD? You can show that you're totally and permanently disabled in one of the following three ways. If you're a veteran, you can submit documentation from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, VA, showing that the VA has determined that you are unemployable due to a service-connected disability. So it's got to be a service-connected disability that has rendered you unemployable. It's the first way for veterans. The second way, if you are receiving Social Security Disability Insurance, SSDI, or Supplemental Security Income, SSI, benefits, you can submit your Social Security Administration Notice of Award for SSDI or SSI benefits, stating that your next scheduled disability review will be within 5 to 7 years from the date of your most recent SSA disability determination. So, if you're getting SSDI or SSI, and your Social Security Notice of Award states that your next scheduled disability review is 5 to 7 years down the road, then you can submit that. If you're under a 3-year disability review, that's not going to be sufficient. So your first way is if you're a veteran. Second way is if you're deemed disabled by Social Security. And your third way is if your physician is in a position to certify that you are totally and permanently disabled. Totally and permanently. Your physician is going to have to certify that you are unable to engage in any substantial gainful activity by reason of a medically determinable physical or mental impairment that can be expected to result in death, has lasted for a continuous period of not less than 60 months, or can be expected to last for a continuous period of not less than 60 months into the future. So this is a physical or mental impairment that can be expected to result in death, has lasted for a continuous period of not less than 60 months, that's 5 years, or can be expected to last for a continuous period of not less than 60 months into the future. So those are your three ways to show your TPD. You've got your veterans way, that's your VA letter showing that you're unemployable due to a service-connected disability. Your Social Security disability way, providing your Social Security Notice of Award, stating that your next scheduled disability review will be within 5 to 7 years of the date of the most recent determination, or the certification from the physician that you are totally and permanently disabled, unable to engage in any substantial gainful activity by reason of a medically determinable physical or mental impairment that can be expected to result in death, has lasted for a continuous period of not less than 60 months already, or can be expected to last for a future continuous period of not less than 60 months. So those are your three ways. So now that we know how to show TPD, let's talk about the documentation that you're going to need to prove TPD. First, we'll hit the Veterans Affairs determination. If you're a veteran, you will be considered totally and permanently disabled for the purposes of a TPD discharge if you provide documentation from the VA showing that the VA has determined that you have a service-connected disability or service-connected disabilities that are 100% disabling, or you are totally disabled based upon an individual unemployability determination. So that's what you need if you're going for the Veterans Determination. If you're going for the Social Security Administration Determination, there's a different line to look at. If you're receiving SSDI or SSI benefits, you will be considered totally and permanently disabled for the purposes of a TPD discharge if you provide an SSA Notice of Award for benefits stating that your next scheduled disability review will be within 5 to 7 years from the date of your most recent disability determination. If your SSA Notice of Award doesn't indicate when your next scheduled disability review will occur, you can get the information by calling your local Social Security Administration office or by calling this number, 800-772-1213, and requesting a benefits planning query. That number again, 800-772-1213, and requesting a benefits planning query. The benefits planning query will show you when your next review is scheduled to occur. If your notice of award doesn't indicate when your next review will occur, then you're going to want to send along a copy of the benefits planning query along with that notice of award. So there's your veterans and your Social Security. Now let's talk about the third way, which is the physician certification. To show that you're totally and permanently disabled for the purposes of a TPD discharge, you have to submit your TPD application with a certification from a physician that shows you are unable to engage in any substantial gainful activity by reason of a medically determinable physical or mental impairment that can be expected to result in death, that has lasted for a continuous period of not less than 60 months, or can be expected to last for a continuous period of not less than 60 months into the future. Substantial gainful activity is a level of work performed for pay or profit that involves doing significant physical or mental activities. So that's substantial gainful activity. When you are providing your TPD application based upon a physician certification, you are not required to provide medical records, but if there is documentation that you believe is going to help your case, then it may be in your best interest to send it. If you think that your medical records are going to help the Department of Education make a determination about a total and permanent disability discharge, well, then by all means, send it along. There's no reason to hold back information that may be helpful to your case. So you've completed your TPD application. You've either submitted your VA documentation, your Social Security Administration documentation, or you've submitted your physician certification and related documentation. You're going to drop it in the mail and you're going to send it off. Here's what happens once you mail it. First, Nelnet is going to get in touch with the holders of all of your federal student loans or your TEACH grant service obligation and tell them to suspend collection activity on those loans while you are undergoing a determination of your eligibility for discharge. That means that you will not be required to make payments on your loans while your application is being evaluated. So, no payments while you're being evaluated. Second of all, the department is going to review your TPD discharge application that you send along with any supporting documentation, to make sure that the application is complete and that it includes the information that indicates you may qualify for discharge. And then, once they've received all required documentation and determined that you appear to meet the eligibility requirements, a final decision will be rendered by the U.S. Department of Education. Now, if the department approves the discharge request, here's what happens. And it depends upon how you went about your TPD discharge request. It depends upon if you're going the Veterans route, if you're going the Social Security Administration route, or you're going the physician certification route. If you showed the department that you are totally and permanently disabled based upon the VA's determination of unemployability, here's what happens. The new servicer, which is going to be Nelnet. Nelnet is the entity that oversees all TPD discharges. Nelnet is going to notify you and the holders of your loans or TEACH grant service obligations of the fact that you've been approved for TPD discharge. Nelnet will instruct the loan holders to return any loan payments received on or after your disability date to the person who made the payments. So, for the purposes of this limited, narrow discussion, your disability date is the effective date of the VA's determination that you were unemployable due to a service-connected disability. So if you've made payments on your student loans after the date that the VA determined that you were disabled, well, you're going to get that money back. That's going to be returned back to you. And that's good because a lot of people will make payments not realizing that a TPD discharge is even available to them. So if you've made payments, don't worry about it. That money is going to come back to you effective the date of your disability according to the VA's determination that you were unemployable due to a service-connected disability. If you showed the department that you are totally and permanently disabled based upon Social Security Administration documentation or physician certification, and the department approves your TPD discharge request, then here's what happens. Nelnet will notify you and the holders of your loans or your TEACH grant service obligations that you've been approved for TPD discharge. Nelnet will then instruct the loan holders, again, to return any loan payments received after your disability date to the person who made the payments. Now, for the purposes of this type of TPD discharge, your disability date is the date that Nelnet received documentation of your SSA. So if Nelnet received documentation of your SSA notice or award for SSDI or SSI benefits, then that's the date. That's the date that counts. Or if you've gone the physician certification route, the date that the physician certified your discharge application, depending upon the type of documentation that you provided, is going to determine what your disability date is. So it's either the date of receipt of the documentation of your SSA notice of award for SSDI or SSI payments, or the date that the physician certified your discharge application. If you've made payments after those dates, depending upon which one is applicable, that money will come back to you. After being notified that the department has approved your discharge request, your loan holders will transfer your loans and/or TEACH grant service obligations to Nelnet for discharge. Here's the kicker. You will then be subject to a 3-year post-discharge monitoring period that begins on the date that the discharge is approved. There are requirements that you're going to need to meet during that post-discharge monitoring period. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Nelnet is going to reinstate your obligation to repay those discharge loans or complete your discharge TEACH grant service obligation if at any time during the 3-year monitoring period, you don't meet the requirements of that post-discharge monitoring period. So we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But first, what happens if your TPD discharge request is denied? What happens is going to depend upon how you showed the department that you're totally and permanently disabled. If you went the VA determination way, then you'll be notified by mail. Nelnet will instruct your loan holders to resume collection activity on the loans, and the letter that they send will include the reason for the denial and information on how you may request a reevaluation of your application by submitting additional documentation from the Veterans Affairs Department. If you showed the department that you're totally and permanently disabled based upon SSA documentation or a physician certification, then they'll notify you by mail. They'll instruct your loan holders to resume collection activities, and the letter that they send will include the reason for the denial and instructions on what you can do if you have questions about the basis for the decision or believe that there is other information that the department should consider. In other words, if your TPD discharge request is denied, the door is not currently totally closed. Okay. So now let's talk about that post-discharge monitoring. That's important. If you showed the department that you are totally and permanently disabled based upon SSA documentation or a physician certification, and the department approves your TPD discharge request, you will be subject to a 3-year post-discharge monitoring period that begins on the date that the discharge is approved. So if you got your TPD based upon Veterans Affairs, no 3-year post-discharge monitoring period. So that's the best way to go. If you went the SSA documentation route or the physician certification route, you're subject to that 3-year post-discharge monitoring period. There are requirements. The department is going to reinstate your obligation to repay the discharge student loans or complete your discharge TEACH grant service obligation if any of the following things happens during the 3-year monitoring period. 1, you have annual employment earnings that exceed the poverty guideline amount for a family of 2 in your state, regardless of your actual family size. So if you have annual employment earnings that exceed the poverty guideline amount for a family of 2 in your state, even if you've got a smaller family size or a larger one, then your obligations get reinstated. And remember, that's employment earnings only. So if you've got passive earnings, if you've got other assets that you're getting dividends or interest, or you come into money through because somebody died or gave you money, that's fine. It's the first way. If you receive a new William D. Ford Federal Direct Loan Program loan, a federal Perkins loan, or a TEACH grant during that 3 years, then the old loan comes back and your obligations are reinstated. If you receive a disbursement of a direct loan, Perkins loan, or TEACH grant that you received before the discharge date is made, and you do not ensure the return of the full amount of that disbursement within 120 days of the disbursement date, your obligation to repay is reinstated. So in other words, if you got a loan, you got it discharged, for some reason you got a disbursement of that loan, or you got some of the loan money after the discharge, if you don't give it back within 120 days of the date that it's disbursed, you're going to have to pay the whole thing back. So that's the third way. Or the fourth way is you receive a notice from the Social Security Administration stating that you are no longer totally and permanently disabled, or that your disability review will no longer be the 5-year or 7-year review period indicated on your first or your most recent award, then it gets reinstated. So if you've got employment earnings that exceed the poverty guideline amount for a family of two in your state, you receive a new federal student loan. You get a disbursement of a previously discharged federal student loan, or you get notified by the Social Security Administration that you're no longer totally or permanently disabled, or that your disability review will be shorter than the 5 or 7 year review period, then your obligation to repay is going to be reinstated. In addition to those conditions, during the 3 year post-discharge monitoring period, you must promptly notify or respond to the department if you receive annual earnings or employment income that exceed the poverty guideline amount to family of two in your state, if there's a change in your address or phone number, if you receive a request to provide the department with documentation of your annual earnings for employment, or if you receive a notice from the Social Security Administration that you're no longer totally and permanently disabled, or your disability review will no longer be the 5 year or 7 year review period, then you must promptly notify the Department of Education. So if they get in touch with you, or if your annual earnings exceed the poverty guideline amount for a family of two in your state, or you move, change your address or phone number. So even if you don't move and your phone number changes, you need to let the Department of Education know. Or if you get a notice from the Social Security Administration, you've got to let the Department of Education know. So that is the 3 year post-discharge monitoring period. Remember, it's 3 full years. So it's only if any of these trigger events occurs within 3 years, within that 3 year period, that you're subject to the reinstatement of your obligation to repay your discharge federal student loans or complete your discharge TEACH grant service obligation. If 10 years after your discharge, you get a job that exceeds the poverty guideline amount for a family of two in your state, you're clear. If 10 years after the discharge, you get a new federal student loan, you're safe. If 10 years after the discharge, you get a notice from the Social Security Administration stating that you're no longer totally and permanently disabled, you're safe. It's only 3 years. So now the question becomes, is a TPD worth it? Maybe or maybe not. Because a TPD discharge results in you receiving a Form 1099, for discharge of indebtedness income. Now, that may trigger a tax liability for the unpaid balance of the student loan. There are a variety of exceptions. The biggest one of those exceptions is if you were insolvent as of the date that the debt was discharged. So if you were insolvent, if your liabilities exceeded the value of your assets, you're insolvent, and that 1099, you take it to your accountant, your tax provider. They fill out another IRS form to claim the exemption, and you don't have to pay taxes on it. But if you are solvent, then you may potentially have to pay taxes on the discharged amount. So TPD may not be worth it, depending upon your financial situation. If you are totally and permanently disabled and you have no employment income, you may want to look into one of the other income-dependent repayment options that are available for repayment of federal student loans. Depending upon your income, an income-dependent repayment option can be as little as $0 a month. And depending upon which one of these programs you elect, your payment could be up to 20 or up to 25 years. Now, at the end of that period of time, you will also get a Form 1099. That's the way that regulations are currently written, but regulations could change within the next 20 to 25 years, depending upon your repayment plan amount. So Maybe the regulations change. At the very worst, if they don't change, you've got a significant amount of time to be able to review your financial situation to determine how you're going to pay the taxes on the discharge of indebtedness income, or whether there's a way for you to be insolvent when the unpaid balance is discharged. And an income-dependent repayment option can be entered into even if you have no income. Even if you are unemployed, you can still engage in one of these income-dependent repayment options. Now, the decision to enter into one of these income-dependent repayment options is complicated by your household size, your marital status, and a number of other financial issues. And we're not going to discuss those today, but it is an option that you do want to take a look at before jumping into a TPD discharge. You also want to determine whether or not there may be some other means of obtaining forgiveness of the federal student loan obligations in a way that isn't going to result in an IRS Form 1099 being issued. Perhaps you would be able to discharge those student loans in a bankruptcy proceeding. Yes, it is possible under limited circumstances to discharge your student loan obligations in bankruptcy. You may be in a position to do that. Perhaps there is another program that would assist in getting those obligations forgiven without a tax liability. I don't know. And right now, you don't either. But these are questions that you want to investigate. You want to sit down with a qualified professional to review all of your options. But if you are doing or considering a TPD discharge for your federal student loans, what we've done today is we've highlighted an entire roadmap for how it gets done, what you need to provide, what happens once your application is sent in, what happens if you're approved, what happens if you're denied, and the issue of post-discharge monitoring. That concludes today's episode of The Student Loan Show. My name is Jay Fleischman. I am a student loan lawyer practicing in the states of California and New York. For federal student loans, I do consult with clients nationwide. If you like this show, please head on over to iTunes, give us a star rating and a review. You can get show notes and all of our prior shows at studentloanshow.com. If you have a question, you can also drop me a question using the form on the page. It'll come directly to me. I'm happy to answer those for you either on the show or by email. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you back here next time.